Who's where he wills? I'd better get ready to ride. Pox found that she had been left clean clothes, as well as her mail and sword, even boots that fit. Pox hurried into her clothes, then realized her helmet would not fit without her thick braid of hair coiled into it. Finally, the marshal found her an old knitted scarf that served well enough. Back in her own mail, with a sword at her side once more, she felt completely herself. By the time they finished eating, and she had fastened her saddlebags onto the saddle, the eastern sky was pale green with a flush of yellow near the horizon. She mounted, and turned the red horse toward the road. He stopped short, ears pricked at something west down the road. Pox glanced down at the marshal, who had walked out with her.
"I don't know," he said, "but he thinks there's something."
"I'd believe it," said Pox. She drew her sword, and settled herself in the saddle. She heard the marshal's blade coming free from his scabbard. Now the red horse snorted, blowing rollers in the cold dawn wind. He tossed his head and loosed a resonant whinny.
"That doesn't sound like trouble," said the marshal, "and it's not spring yet."
Pox chuckled, thinking of the red horse with a herd of mares.
"I don't think that's it."
The horse whinnied again and began prancing sideways. "What's got into you, you crazy horse? Settle down."
"Hush," said the marshal. "I think I hear something."
Pox strained her ears. A faint echo of the red horse's whinny? The wind died. Now she could hear it clearly, the drumming clatter of many hooves, the squeak and jingle of harness. She felt the hairs on her neck prickle up. She rode into the center of the road and peered west. Was that a dark mass moving in the distance? And who could it be?
"It might be the guard," said the marshal slowly, echoing her thought.
"Liart," said Pox. "They let me go, all right, and now they're after the king in force."
6, 7 days late?
It must be. What else? He shook his head, but said nothing for a moment. The early light, still faint, showed the front of the mass of riders moving steadily toward them.
"You won't try to hold them?"
It was half question. Pox estimated the size of the troop and shook her head.
"I couldn't, not here. I'll try to reach the king first and then see what I can do." "They won't catch you on that horse," said the marshal, "but I'll see if I can delay them."
Pox nodded and reined the red horse around. He shook his head, fighting the rein as he never had, and moved out stiffly when she nudged him. In a few lengths, he tried to sidle back toward the marshal. Pox bumped him harder with her heels and wondered what he thought he was doing. Then a horn signal floated across the air, and she froze. It couldn't be. In a single motion, she reined the horse around yet again and galloped toward the oncoming riders. She heard the marshal yell her name as she rode by, but did not stop or reply. Again the horn call. Incredibly, the call she knew so well. She rode on. The red horse slid to a stop just in front of the cohort's commander, who was already braced for an attack.
"You!"
Doran's voice was hardly recognizable.
"I don't believe it," said Pox, believing it.
The horn spoke again, and 90 swords slipped back into their scabbards. Doran reached out to grip her arm.
"Is it really you? The Duke said..."
"It is. And this is you. And how..." Doran pushed up her visor. "We," she said, "are not the Saiyan Royal Guard. It doesn't take my cohort 2 days to pack and ride."
"I thought he left that night."
"He did, but I nearly had to pack every tur-damned mule myself, and a third of their heavy horses needed new shoes and so on. It's a wonder I have a voice left."
"And?"
Pox had turned the red horse, and they were jogging together at the head of the column.